brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Oh, yes, it's sipping time again. Hello, and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Oh, nope, I'm gonna disagree with that, because I was watching cheese rolling, where they roll a cheese down a hill, and you would run down the hill after it.
Is that
I
think Hungarian that was cheese better. Rolling, or is English cheese rolling?
There was an English cheese rolling,
oh,
I believe.
The English one's much better.
And they just run down a steep hill to get that cheese. Whoever gets there first gets the cheese. I think that was more interesting.
Was it government cheese?
I think so.
Ooh,
I think better. Brent just cut the cheese.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Something definitely smells off. Oh, Lord. All right. Already fart humor. One minute and 46 seconds in. Right in the toilet we go. All right. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
It is a pleasure to be here. I'm glad you guys are all in your own corner, except for Justin. He's been put in the middle. He doesn't know what corner he belongs.
He's sitting in Maury's lap, so I don't know.
We're social distancing.
We're very social distancing.
Mm-hmm. I'm facing away.
Yeah, good old boy, Alan.
Happy to be here, everybody.
And Made Man Maury.
Pleasure to be in the stinky basement for a change. I'm glad I brought my gas mask.
Well, if you quit farting, it wouldn't be stinky. And good old boy Justin.
Thank you, Bob. I'm glad they issued me that oxygen at the hospital.
Lord. Well, Brent, Maury, and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals. With representation in 8 states and 2 continents, our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check them out on Facebook at The Bourbon Mafia. The show is also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, you can visit them at ftlws.com.
Not very many events lately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, nobody's having any events.
The
events have dried up.
Yeah, if I have to do one more Zoom tasting, it's like, great. I'm sitting in my house drinking by myself with people on TV. How's that different than what's going on in every trailer in Alabama right now?
Yeah.
And before this and after and never.
They prepared their lives for this.
Yeah, pretty much. And our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida.
I think we should have new sponsors today instead of Fine Spirits. I think today should be the day we sponsor JW Law Firm, Inc., Classic Cask.
Well, it's sponsored also in part by anybody yeah, but Harmita.
But Fine Spirits is the home of the Enigmatic plan of sipping whiskeys.
The megalomaniac machines. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Everybody notice everybody's smiling, and it's just so much more pleasant when he's not around. Yeah, whatever. But
I'd say you should be careful what you say, but he'll never listen to this episode.
Of course not. He's on it. If he's not on it, he's not going to listen to
it. He's got a high IQ.
Yeah, if you square it. So
can't spill it.
At least he says he does. Yeah.
Right. So,
all right. Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee. In today's show, we're going to be doing a range of whiskeys. The spirits we're going to be discussing today from Deadwood, we have the Deadwood Straight Bourbon and the Deadwood Rye Whiskey. Also from Deadwood, we have the Tumbling Dice Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And we have the Senator Straight Rye Whiskey. From Old William Tar, we have the Manchester Reserve and the Inheritance. And from Knob Creek, we have the 15-year-old Knob Creek Bourbon. So we're going to have Justin read our sips in some indistinguishable accent that certainly will not sound anything like what it's supposed to.
If we don't identify the accent, then we can't say it's off.
Right. Can we guess the accent?
Good luck.
All right. Thank you very much. I have to say that this basement is an ideal base of operations.
What in the heck is that supposed to be?
Here are the
I feel like we're in the Twilight Zone.
It's Rod Serling.
Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
I'm not getting
past the senator.
Just not getting it.
Two. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
I'm still trying to figure out.
All right, so Brent, who is he impersonating?
Nope. I'm ready to hear banjos.
Is that Nathan Lane in the Birdcage?
I'm ready to travel down the river
and hear banjos. Al Swearingen from Deadwood.
Oh. No, still not getting it.
Nope, kind of getting it. Nope.
No, not even close.
Nope.
All right. Moving on, so we're going to have Bori tell us about Deadwood and our first whiskey.
Well, thank you, Bob. The Deadwood line of whiskeys are the creation of Proof and Wood Ventures, the same folks who originated the Redemption whiskey brand, named for the town where Wild Bill Hickok was famously gunned down during a card game. The hand he was holding when he died, aces and eights, became known as the Dead Man's Hand and is featured prominently on the label. Dave Schmier from Proof and Wood Ventures describes the brand as an American table whiskey. Good whiskey you can drink every day, all day.
At Brent's house, that's everything.
Correct. Deadwood straight bourbon is all sourced from Indiana. The mash bill is 75% corn, 21% rye, and 4% malted barley. As a straight bourbon, it must be a minimum of 2 years old. Current batches are about 3 to 4 years old, and it's made from batches of approximately 25 barrels per batch. It retails for between $20 and $25 per bottle. It's got a beautiful mahogany color. I really love the color. It's got a nice nose. You get a lot of corn on the nose, definitely some caramel, vanilla, oak, a little bit of nuts, and just a very slight hint of chocolate or cocoa. On the palate, very pleasant. You're getting caramel, some dried fruit, a little honey, brown sugar, spice, vanilla, hints of orange peel, and definitely a lot of coconut. It's got a short to medium finish. It's very pleasant. It's a nice entry-level whiskey, and I would agree with what they set out to accomplish. It's an all-day drinker. You can drink it anytime. It's affordable. You can call it a quaffing whiskey. You can call it a poolside whiskey. You can call it an everyday whiskey, but you really can't go wrong for the money. It's a good value and well-made.
Booyah!
Justin? Sir?
Well, I think it's a very nice spirit. On the nose, it smelled like a really nice humidor. Got that nice woody aroma. A little bit of oak. Some vanilla at the end. On the palate, I got some honey, brown sugar, a lot of coconut, and the finish is medium short, but that's pretty much what you'd expect for a spirit that's 2 or 3 years old, or even 3 or 4. What'd you think, Bob?
I think he's hit it right on the head when he said it, when I spoke to him, and he was talking about how he was trying to just make a table whiskey. He's not trying to reinvent the wheel or, make the next Pappy or whatever. He's like, I wanted to make something that is affordable, that you can afford to drink every day, and that's good whiskey. And I think he's nailed it. Honestly, for that retail price, I see people going into stores and paying 2 and 3 times that price for whiskey that I wouldn't wash my dog with. This is a solid whiskey. It's definitely get on the nose, the cocoa, the chocolate. Little bit of a nutty aroma right on the tip of the nose and on the palate. Huge. It's dried fruit, coconut, caramel. It's a little bit of citrus, like just the slightest little bit of orange peel on the back palate. Hold on. Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're not going to get a much better whiskey for, you know, you're not getting anything better than this for that price. Absolutely not. Yeah, I think it's a solid pour for the money. It's a great pour. So, what do you think, Brett?
Yeah, it's got a you know, interesting label. You know, the aces and eights on the label. They've come out with something unique, different, just kind of a little catchy kind of thing to try to draw people over. Like, oh yeah, that's what we want to do. And the price point is there, $20 to $25. You know, see it, mix it. You know, I don't know that you're going to drink this one straight for the most part, but yeah, it'll be a good mixer.
I've seen things. You drink a lot worse straight, a lot.
I never drink anything straight.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been known to.
Well, we're not going to. Yeah, we're not going to talk about your preferences in that realm. We're talking about whiskey today. Thank you.
Yeah. But
what you do at Fantasy Fest is your own accord, sir.
You know, I just wonder what the other card was between the aces and eights. You know,
don't know. What do you think, Alan?
I think it's a lovely structured whiskey that gives a lot of flavor and a lot of taste. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Very likable. And I could picture myself drinking this on the rocks and enjoying it all day long. Yeah. Just a lovely, nice, great whiskey. And easy to drink. Very palatable.
I think he's on the right path to it because everybody wants to come out and create, you know, with their new label, the next high-end thing, which is damn near impossible, even if you've been around forever. But to come out new and try and hit it is basically almost impossible. Nobody is, you know, hey, we need whiskey we can have every day. I need something I can mix with my ginger ale, and I have something on the rocks by the pool that's not going to break my bank. And I think a lot of people are ignoring that.
Yeah.
So we're going to give the Deadwood Straight Bourbon 3 sips.
Yep.
Interesting.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing some lovely whiskeys from Deadwood. We just finished talking about the Deadwood bourbon, and we're going to go to the next one from Deadwood. We're going to have Alan tell us about that one.
Well, kind of impressed with it. The Deadwood Rye Distillery is a blend of rye from Indiana and Tennessee. The Indiana rye is in standard MGP mash bill of 95% rye and 5% barley. The Tennessee rye has a mash bill of 70% rye, 30% corn. The Indiana rye contributed to the light floral note, and the Tennessee rye in the blend to give it a little more grit. It's about a $20 to $25 retail item, which is very, very, very reasonable. And I think this whiskey is aptly named Deadwood. If you remember the TV show, Deadwood, about the Old West, I'm sure this is not much different than what people were drinking back then, okay? Very acceptable, nice, you know, there weren't many connoisseurs back in those days. And you went into a bar and you asked for a whiskey or you asked for a rye, and you got something that was pleasant and drinkable. And I think that that's exactly what it is, a very pleasant, drinkable rye whiskey. It's got a fairly light color to it, and that's because it's only 2 years old. But you know what? 2 years in bourbon and rye is like 7-8 years in Scotch whiskey. So that's about the minimum time they're allowed to age it. It's picked up flavor of the wood. Will it pick up more? Yeah, it'll pick up dramatically more flavors of wood in the next 3 years. And then sometimes after that, it's not that much better at all. But this is very drinkable. It's got a nice spicy nose. There's dill, there's honey, there's brown sugar, wood, pear, licorice, and a little bit of baking spice. On the palate, the spicy red and black pepper, caramel, and honey come through very nicely. And the finish is smooth and yet dry, which is what rye is supposed to be. A dry finish. I'll tell you, another whiskey that is easily quaffable any time of the day or night and doesn't stand on a brilliant statue, but it's a very, very nice drinking whiskey. What do you think?
It's a very crowded market with the rye whiskey. To have it at this price point makes it affordable for everybody where they can get out and get this one. I'm not sure what percentages are of the Indiana and what percentages are of the Tennessee, but they've did a nice job of blending them, the two of them together. But all the nose and the stuff, the palate is really nice, but it's just a pleasant, nothing stands out about it. Nothing wants me to makes me want to run out and get it or anything. You know, they don't have anything that they really, you know, it's affordable is the main thing. And it's decent. It's just 2 years. So you can't expect something that's going to be like, wow, I need that. Maury?
I don't disagree. I think that for the price point, you can't do much better. It's a little young. It definitely tastes older than its stated age. 95.5, sings of MGP. It's a great, well-known mash bill that's stood the test of time. And for the money, it's a nice easy drinker. Alan hit the nail on the head. Quaffable. Justin?
This reminded me a lot of the Bullet Rye that came out a year or two ago that was also 95.5. The difference between that one and this one's got like bolder rye flavor to it. And the dill note is very, very strong with this one. I would be surprised if they put a lot of Tennessee whiskey in this at all because I don't get a huge corn note. You just get a really big rye note. What'd you think, Bob?
Yeah, the dill note, the dill nose that comes through on most MGP rye is very present. So you take one sniff and you know that there's some MGP in there. And I don't think that they put a huge amount of the Tennessee rye in there to that it would have blended it out. But having never taken the two whiskeys myself and physically blended them, I don't know. Maybe you go half and half and you still, that's one of the things that still, comes out. A solid whiskey. Again, for the price right now, rye is so hot and it's so hard to get, and there's so many people selling such lousy rye.
That's the big thing.
For a lot of money.
There's a lot of rye. This is a
perfectly serviceable rye for $20 or $25.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of ryes out there, $40, $50 that are not worth it.
They're not worth this price. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot out there that don't drink this well for 2 to 3 times the price. Not even close.
It's a very realistic rye whiskey.
Well,
and nothing to
knock what he's shooting for. He's shooting for an everyday table whiskey at a fair price, and I think he's nailed it. And again, I think he's on to something as far as the market. I think that people are gonna go, hey, I can't drink the $60 lousy rye every day. It's too much money. This one will get me where I need to go. It's pretty decent whiskey and the price is right. So, hey, why not? So we're going to be rating the Deadwood Rye Whiskey. That's 83 proof, 41.5% ABV. Three sips.
Interesting.
So let's have Justin tell us about the next one that we have, which is also from Deadwood.
Tumbling Dice Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It's 100 proof or 50% alcohol by volume, and it's 4 years old, at least. Another expression from the Deadwood line, Tumbling Dice is a high rye bourbon that was distilled in Indiana with a mash bill of 60% corn, 36% rye, and 4% barley. And it goes for about $40 in the store. You can really tell they put a lot more corn in this whiskey. It does taste right about what it ages at the 4 years old. You taste the barley just on the end, just a little bit. And it's got the classic MGP dill markers. More oak than other expressions we've had today. Definitely some baking spices and just a touch of vanilla. But this is kind of a drier, more astringent bourbon. And the finish is pretty decent for a four-year-old. I think it's about fairly priced. What'd you think, Bob?
Again, for the money, I think it's going to be hard to beat it.
Well, I think, you know, you keep talking about the money. I think it goes back to things say that. People say that a lot about wine. You know, anybody can make a great $100 bottle of Cabernet, yep. but making a great bottle at a yep. reasonable price is really a feat.
Exactly.
And that's I would argue is. That the same as with whiskey. You know, anybody can make a great $100 bottle of boutique whiskey, but making something this good for this price is really a
yeah.
feat.
Yeah, and that's it. And there are people out there who are bottling whiskeys of similar ages and of similar quality, but they're jacking the price up.
Twice the price.
Two, three, four times.
And we've had a lot of those,
money.
And we thought they were good for $40,
yeah.
but not good for $80.
Yeah. And usually I try to leave price out of it, but in this particular case, considering the market that he's shooting for on some of these, I think it's, you know, just to actually bring that into the discussion.
Agreed.
You know, on the nose, it's definitely some nice oak. I swear, I don't know if I'm picking it up off the other two glasses, but I get absolutely just the faintest hint of dill, baking spice, a little bit of blackstrap molasses and vanilla. And it's just, you know, it's a classic high rye bourbon. You know, a little bit of the spice in the sides and the back palate, a little bit down the throat. Apple pie spice and cinnamon, brown sugar, vanilla. Again, not reinventing the wheel, not meant to be the next Pappy, but, you know, dang, for the price, I think it's a solid bourbon.
I like to hear what Alan has to say about price. He's a marketing genius and a price guru, among other things.
I would say this is very, very honest pricing. It's a quality product at a very reasonable price. I think I have to stress, it's a quality product, okay?
Yeah.
There's nothing negative about the quality of this. Quality is real good. We all have our own different determinations on taste. It's all a matter of personal likes and dislikes. I think this was done very, very well. I certainly like it a lot. I think as a four-year-old, it tastes as good, if not much better, than many eight-year-olds that I've had. It's not overly aged. You're not getting that wood bite
when
to
you know, one thing I want, when you talk about the price of something, I always look at it like this. If you're spending $25 on a bottle, that's a dollar a drink, a dollar a shot. It's just the way you look at it, you know? So $50, you're spending $2 a shot. And it's like, so you have to look at yourself. Well, would I pay that? And would I go out someplace and pay three times that if I was sitting at a bar or sitting someplace? And this does qualify in that range. You would do that. You know, you would pay that amount for it.
Yeah.
Easily.
I think it's a not only a great value, but a quality product.
But I agree with Brent, and it's a little off the subject here for this because this is focused on quality. And there are a lot of Americans that won't spend more than $30, $40 on a bottle of whiskey. And so
there's a lot of people who can't.
You know, right. So.
And that this fits the bill. Yeah. But when I start to talk about people who talk about, oh my God, and they're put off by the price, I exactly do what you do. And I go right back to the cost per shot. You got 24 1-ounce pours in a bottle. And at $24, it's a dollar a pour. So that $75 bottle that really is off-putting to a lot of people. Yes, you got to have the $75. But if you do, you know, what are you talking about? $3 a shot. And nobody would bat an eyelash at a $10 rum and coke at a bar. But you can have this bottle for many, many, many months. And at $3 a shot, it's one-third the cost at home. So
exactly. Oh, exactly. And that's what...
And well, it's always going to be less at home. I mean, that rum and coke's about 40 cents at home.
Well, the drinks I make at home are a lot stronger than the drinks I make in the bar or whatever. So
yeah, they are cocktails that contain nothing but whiskey.
Right.
Yeah.
Bourbon and bourbon.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, okay? We're all being very sensible, responsible human beings, not going out that much, certainly not going into bars as much as we would like to.
I've been going to the subway and licking all
minute,
the rails.
Wait a minute. There's bars that are out there that are, you know, people are very much going to and stuff, you know?
Like, yeah, I'm not going there.
Right, you're not.
Brent's
you're
house. I'm not going there.
Brent's house.
And the way I see it, you know, I love the ideology of looking at it as, you know, hey, go out, buy a bottle of Doer's White Label, which is a very lovely, drinkable, blended Scotch whiskey. And you buy 175 and it costs you $30 for the bottle these days, okay? And you wind up getting 59 drinks out of it. And, you know, I may never go to a bar again. Unless these guys are taking me
out. Well, that's because most bars won't let you in.
You've been pretty much blacklisted from many places. I've been thrown out of better bars than this many times.
But my point, Alan, is that people at home, people wouldn't think twice about spending $10 on a mixed drink in a bar for garbage, for well bourbon or well rum.
Correct.
And if you're going to be home, you know, you're not spending $30 a drink. You're not even spending $10 a drink. You're literally spending, for a $100 bottle, you're spending less than $4 a drink. And most of us would agree that we're worth $4.
Oh,
and
no
so
doubt
I really
it.
Try to encourage people that are
as long as it's worth that.
Yeah.
There's some $100 ones that.
But like, I like to tell people that really put off by anything more than $30, you're worth $4. You'd spend $10 in a bar. Don't be ashamed of buying a $100 bottle because it's $4 a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's Maury's economic advice for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's...
I'm bowing out of that one.
So let's move it on. So the Tumbling Dice straight bourbon whiskey.
Good advice.
We're going to be giving that 3 sips.
Interesting.
All right, so moving on to our last bourbon from the folks at Proof and Wood. We're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The Senator's Straight Rye Whiskey is from the fall of 2019. It's 116 proof, 58% ABV. It's a six-year-old. The Senator's six-year-old barrel-proof straight rye whiskey is distilled in Indiana and has a mash bill that's 95% rye and 5% malted barley. I wonder where that could come from. 95.5.
Can't even think of who would do that besides
MGK. Can't even
MGK.
Imagine where it would come from in Indiana like that. But each batch is composed of between 10 to 20 carefully selected barrels and bottled at barrel proof. Now, barrel proof is the key word in this one because this is nice. It's got a nice dark copper color to it. It's like this nice shiny copper color. The nose... beautiful nose. I get all the classic rye notes. I get some vanilla in there. Get some pepper. Get a little bit of a tobacco on that. On the palate, I get toffee, orange peel, light tobacco. I get some chocolate. It's just beautiful. This one here is a step above what we just had. And it really shows, and I'm not just saying that because of the proof. I think that does make a difference, but I am a proof guy. Most people know, but
it's a nice way of saying alcoholic. But yeah,
alcoholic as well. But this one is I just consider this one leaps and bounds above the other products that they had. And it kind of shows.
And I agree with you. I think the extra two more years is a 50% uptick in age, but also I think the proof makes a difference. So I think you put it all together, you get a substantial jump in quality.
You don't want to try to compare everything against something else, but when it all comes from the same kind of distillery, you can say that. You can say, oh, look, and this is their superior product from what the other ones are from the, from those. Those are like, this one is a better product. This is the more premium product that they have.
And I think the packaging shows it's a little bit upgraded and premium. I love the beautiful wax seal on the top of the bottle. I agree. I think every way it's a step up. Do we know the retail on this?
Don't know.
Probably a little bit of a step up, but hard to say whether it's worth a step up because we don't know the pricing. But I agree with Brent. I think this is the nicest thing we've had today. It's really a step up in terms of flavor, in terms of complexity, in terms of mouthfeel, finish. Really, a beautiful whiskey. I think they've shown that they can do something that's affordable and drinkable for the average man on an everyday basis. And they can also pull out the stops and make something that's more of a premium product.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's the barrel proof. I mean, the 116 proof, it really gives it that nice little kick. And you can do whatever you want with it then. Then you can make you can make your Manhattan. You can make your, any nice mixed drink with it, because it's going to have that oomph for it that you want to have in a mixed drink.
For sure.
Alan, what do you...
I like it. Think it's a not just lovely, but a very good structured whiskey. Terrific stuff, Is it the most exceptional whiskey I've ever drank? No. Does it certainly give out a great good quality? The answer is yes. Yeah. It's a nice whiskey.
We'll be back. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we're talking about the Senator Straight Rye Whiskey from the folks over at Proof and Wood Ventures. So what'd you think about it, Justin?
Well, I think it had a decent rye hit to it. It definitely had that MGP dill note that they're famous for. And the finish was pretty nice, pretty well balanced. But there are a lot of competition in this market segment for 6 years straight rye whiskey. And I think this hits about the middle of the pack of those. What'd you think, Bob?
I thought it was really good. Again, it's good. It's nutty on the palate. There's a lot of toffee in there. A little bit of orange peel. Get a little bit of light tobacco and old leather. Some chocolate notes. On the back palate. Let's see. Just a touch of water here. See what we get out of that. The water actually brought out a little bit of the sweetness in it. A solid whiskey. I mean, and definitely of the ones we've gotten from them, I think it's the best one they've had so far. I think they did one before this one. It was like 10 or 11 year release. But again, I think
a great, solid, honest whiskey. Absolutely nothing wrong with this. I'd drink this all day long. So, for the Senator Straight Rye Whiskey, we're going to be giving it 4 sips.
That's classified.
All right, so we're going to be moving on to our next whiskey from the William Tarr Distillery. All right. When the federal government mandated that whiskeys be registered, the Ashland Distillery in Lexington, Kentucky, was the first to register in 1865 and became known as RD No. 1. The Ashland Distillery was purchased in November 1871 by William Tarr of Bourbon County and Thomas Megabin. Of Harrison County. Mr. Tarr was a prominent land speculator in the area, and both were distillers and entered the business before the Civil War. They continued to produce Ashland and produced the William Tarr whiskey as well. In May of 1879, a fire destroyed the distillery. It's like every one of them. Every single distillery. I mean, it's
like every one of them strikes. Fire.
I mean, so this fire forced the local business community to establish a waterworks at lower, in order to get the lower insurance rates. The waterworks provided a year-round supply of water to fight fires. The distillery was reorganized in September of 1879 as William Tarr and Company. The firm had the annual capacity of 6,000 barrels. A combination of the Panic of 1893 and the general depression of the whiskey industry resulted in the liquidation of the company's assets in 1899. Their successors continued in operation until about 1908, and local investors in Lexington have decided to resurrect the William Tarr brand and the story of Lexington's first registered distillery. For now, the bourbon's going to be sourced throughout Kentucky until they are up and running and able to have their own product to offer, and we're fortunate to have samples of their first two releases, which are set for public release in the fall of 2020. The two releases will come back-to-back in the fall of 2020. The first label to release is a whiskey blend known as Old William Tarr Whiskey Manchester Reserve. And following that release will be a 12-year-old bourbon known as Old William Tarr Bourbon Inheritance. What might be most unique to the distillery is a small batch social club for bourbon enthusiasts, known temporarily as the Tarr Underground. Members who have special access to new product releases, as well as the opportunity to mingle with owners and events and tastings and whatnot. Other membership perks also include complimentary tastings, pre-order opportunities, barrel picks, and exclusive appearance. And an exclusive appearance with Coach Mark Stoops, who is also one of the investors in this, I believe. Tarr Underground represents to people who want to be movers and shakers in the Lexington bourbon industry, and people who want the opportunity to do something before anyone else in town. Next Wednesday, it's past that now, July 1st, they held their first event, a VIP sneak peek. So let's start talking about the whiskey here. So let me see. We are at that one right there. So the William Tarr Whiskey Manchester Reserve is 114 proof, 57% ABV. It's got a nice burnished brown color to it. On the nose, I get molasses, old leather, sort of a tobacco barn sort of aroma. Let's try the palate. On the palate, I get a big hint of maple, a lot of pepper up front, a lot of spice, sort of an English toffee, and big caramel note on the back. And it's got a medium long finish. Nice whiskey. What'd you think, Brett?
Yeah, this one kind of impressed me a little bit right off the bat when I had once I add a little bit of water to it. It needed the sit. It needed a little bit of water, and then it came back to me, and it had all the classic notes. But on their palate, the tobacco, leather, and pepper on the palate was, and then it followed by a little bit of caramel at the end there. I'm used to the caramel and the vanillas up front, and so this is almost more like a, you know, like a rye. So I kind of think it's like a rye blend versus, a traditional bourbon blend. I think it's a high rye mash bill versus the corn, you know, high corn mash bill, high wheat mash bill.
I had more details on, you know, origin or at least the mash bill, but we've got what we got.
Right. No, I understand that, you know. So, I was kind of a little put off for it at first, and then the air, the water, you know, the time, everything came back to it and stuff, and it's very enjoyable. I like this 114 proof. I hope they don't overprice themselves out of the market. That's what I hope is, that, you know, I mean, you know,
it's an inaugural release, and I'm sure Taters will be snapping it up.
Yeah, that's what they do. You know, something that's limited, something that's like, okay, it's the first thing, it's released, and everybody wants to jump on it, you know, and it's...
It is what it is. What can you
It do? Is what it is, yeah. So, Alan?
It's interesting. Taste is subjective, okay, subjectively. I'm personally not that much into this one. I think it's drinkable, and I think there are people that are going to like it. Just doesn't do anything for me personally. But I think it's a well-structured whiskey.
Well, let me amplify on that, Alan. I would agree with you when it was first poured in my glass. I was pretty underwhelmed. I think Brent hit the nail on the head with air, time, and water. It's improved. It's now something that I could, and again, we're used to opening something inexpensive and entry level and drinking it right away and quaffing it, whatever you want to call it, and maybe something more pricey, more sophisticated, we might recognize needs air. And again, you're talking about who's buying it in the market. I don't know where it's priced. I agree with Brian. I hope it's priced nicely. But I think it's a great entry-level, middle-of-the-road whiskey. It's not overly complex, but it's definitely pleasant with some air and with a little bit of water.
The air definitely makes it a lot more pleasant.
Justin?
Off the bat, it didn't hit me right, but I think if I put it in a large glass with a really huge ice cube that's slow to melt, that the cold pushing down the flavors a little bit more narrower band, and the coldness would make it better. But I don't have the opportunity to do that today. What'd you think, Bob?
Well, Bob was the one who talked about it.
thanks for participating.
I'm going to take a step back. I think that this is a great product to be used in cocktails. Okay, I think there are aspects to it that make it great for a cocktail. Just, you know, subjectively,
right?
Not my taste, but a good bourbon nonetheless.
Yeah, I think this is significantly changed from when we first opened it. And I will tell you, I put water in mine, and water really brought a lot of the flavors out. You know, a lot of stuff that was muted. I just literally a drop or two, and it really opened up.
So I think Alan's right. I think it's a nice cocktail whiskey. Again, I think when you start with an 80-proof whiskey in a cocktail, it's going to get lost and watered down. You end up with a 30-proof cocktail. But you start with something like this, a little higher proof.
Not at Brent's house, you don't. Trust me on that one. I've had cocktails with him. Here's a 64-ounce Big Gulp full of gas-strength bourbon and a cherry. What's that? Oh, it's an old-fashioned. Shouldn't there be something else in it? Oh, two cherries. Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Yeah. Have a bucket of liquor. So.
I obviously cheated you the last time you came.
Yeah, I only got one cherry, you bastard. So the Old William Tar Whiskey Manchester Reserve, we're going to be giving 3 sips.
Interesting.
All right. So we're going on to the next one from William Tar. And who do we have doing that one?
I can't read my own handwriting.
Oh, is it Maury?
No, it's Maury. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. They were both fighting over which one should do it. They were both fighting over which one should do it. So I think, you know, it's...
All right. Well, this expression is the Old William Tar bourbon called Inheritance. It comes in at 120 proof or 60% ABV. Even Justin can do that math. It's 12 years old.
I doubt it.
Nope.
I tell you what a third of it is.
You can only do thirds, man.
It's got a lovely coppery, bronzy color. It's got a pleasant nose. Honestly, this was not my favorite whiskey. I thought they did a much better job on the first expression. This whiskey is...
Did you try water in it?
I did try some water.
Water really, really, I thought, helped a lot.
Yeah.
I got a lot of cherry, kind of reminded me of cough syrup. I'm not a big fan of red berry fruit in my whiskey because I find that it just brings me right back to my childhood of too much cough syrup.
Just because your mother, when you had issues, don't put that on the rest of us. I
kept
liked
you
her.
Quiet, didn't it?
Yeah. So did that pillow over his face. like his mom screaming at the top of her lungs, he just won't go. Yeah. Honey, go to the light.
All are welcome. All are come to the light.
Well, let me know when you're done, Bob.
He'll never be finished.
No. It's got a nice palate. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's got a medium finish. It's well made. It's just not my flavor profile.
There's something off-putting on the palate. There's something that I can't put my finger on it. Exactly. I can't put my finger on it, but it's just a little bit off-putting, you know, for a bourbon that you're expecting to get those caramel and vanillas and stuff. And it's just
12 years old, 120 proof. You expect
Yeah, there's something that
fireworks.
Did
you try water in it?
I did put some water in it, you know, but there's still something. There's something I can't put my finger on, like it's off-putting that just...
We've had whiskeys that have a little hint of petroleum. That's not it. It's definitely not petroleum.
No, it's not.
There's definitely not a flavor you could put your finger on.
I can distinguish this and it's like a really terrible thing that it is. It's just not right. Not like the bourbon-y. You know,
yeah,
like
I'm about you guys. I like it.
Cough syrup. I get cough syrup.
I get milk duds on the nose.
Milk duds?
Yeah.
Water really helped it out.
I thought, Alan, I think you suggested you thought the barrel might have been overcharred, that you got a little burnt note to it.
Well, talking about overcharred, I don't know if it's overcharred, but I do believe it's a little bit older than it should have been.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. I think they need to take this out of the
Maybe it was maybe a high tier.
Bourbon and rye at 12 years old is like Scotch whiskey at 25 years old.
Easily. So I mean, this could be a high tier.
You know, and that, again, interesting structure. Nothing negative. But just my own personal palate.
If you're the kind of guy who likes a lot of, you know,
if you like a larger wood profile,
yeah, then this is absolutely you. It's the same thing. Like, you know, you go to Japan. What do they love? They love it really woody over there.
Woody.
You know,
so like cherry herring.
You know, it's just what you like.
Good substitute.
You know? And
Slivowitz.
I don't know. I mean, some days I dig it. Sometimes I don't. Today I'm just kind of digging it. But yeah, not bad.
Do we dare ask Justin?
Well, run out of time. He better say something.
Quick.
Thank you, Justin.
It's been good having you today. We've enjoyed your comments.
Water really helps this a lot. I detected the same off note you guys did, but a couple of drops of distilled water finished that, and then it just became a nice, smooth drink.
Distilled, you're so sophisticated.
So sophisticated.
All right, we're going to rate this 4 sips. All right, let's go to the Knob Creek.
Three sips.
Whatever.
I thought it was two.
I'm running out of time here. So let's go to the Knob Creek 15. Let's have Alan tell us about that one.
Now, Knob Creek 15 is a lovely, lovely, lovely whiskey. Joining the current line of the Classic 9 and the more recent 12-year-old, this limited release is extremely special at 15 years old. The color is beautiful, gold, dark, nose has everything, taste has everything. I'm going to give this one a 4 for me.
Brent, what'd you think?
Okay. For me, I'm going to tell you, if I had a choice, I would just get a single barrel, 12-year, 120 proof. This one was a little underwhelming for a 15-year.
It did improve with time in the glass.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think it's it under-delivered. Over-promised and under-delivered.
Yeah.
Well made.
We're going to give it 3 sips.
Interesting.
Well, we ran a little short on time because some people just got wordy, but that's all the time we have for today.
That was the wordy person, that was Justin.
Obviously, yeah. Me.
That was Justin.
And we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is ask Siri, Alexa, or Google to play podcasts, Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com, and our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes, or our Facebook page, which is always buzzing with lots of news. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for putting me in the corner. It's great to stay away from you all, and it was a nice day drinking bourbon.
You belong in the corner. Thank you, Alan.
Fabulous being out of jail and back in civilization.
We're glad to pick you up, buddy, you and Elwood. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Bad day in the basement's better than a great day of working.
Everything's better than a good day of working. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Good being here. Good break from house arrest.
Yeah, well, we'll get that thing off your ankle soon enough. All right.
I got some bolt cutters.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you do. For Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.